so many troubles in this life. So many things that come upon us. And for those that we associate with most, there's never a doubt that there's not an island of safety. And I use that in a metaphorical sense. That there's not an island of safety where they and we can go during those times of trouble. It is that place that we can always count on. That when it seems as though the world is coming down on us, when people are against us, we can go to an island of safety where we know that there is security, where we know that there is comfort, and we know that there is love. And all you have to do is look on the news and watch it and realize that that is not so for everyone on this earth. And we see wars, and we see famine, and we see disease, and we see pestilence that exist in certain parts of this world, and there is not a place of respite for those people to escape those things for even a moment. But truly there is. But many do not recognize that. I want to talk about the islands of safety that God has supplied for us. And it really doesn't matter what comes upon us. Those islands of safety are there. They are constant. We see that it's not just in our time, but it was set up even in times past, thanks to the reading that we have this morning from Brother Doyle in the 7th chapter. We go back, of course, to the 6th chapter of Genesis. Verse 17, 18, God had determined that because of sin being rampant upon the earth, and imagine this, that the earth being about 2,000 years old at this time, there were not any believers on the face of this earth except for 8 souls. 8 souls, that is hard to believe. And don't think that the population wasn't large. That's 2,000 years in which the population exploded from the time of the beginning, and proliferation of life was a great expanse upon this earth. There were millions or even possibly even billions of people that were upon this earth. And 8 souls is all that was left. But God determined because of that, the vast majority, not believing in Him, that He would destroy this earth by water. Genesis 7 chapter and verse 1, God tells Noah, go into the ark that he had prepared, that had been made by the plan of God, the provision made by God for salvation. Enter into that, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. And there was an island of relief, an island of safety that was given by God for mankind, i.e. Noah and his family at that time. Noah received that island of safety, that place where he could go to for comfort and love and safety and protection, because of what it says in Genesis 7 verse 5, and Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. And then when we look in verse 16 of Genesis, the 7th chapter, says, and those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Noah and his family, the island of safety. He shut him in. And certainly we recognize from this that there was no safety, there was no protection, there was no place of comfort, there was no place of respite that existed except inside that ark. Because the ones that were in there went in by faith. They went in because they were different from the world. And God had supplied that island of safety to Noah and his family. He did the same in the land of Goshen when the Israelites were in bondage under Israel. under Egypt. And we see in Exodus 8, 22 and 23, God says, I will set apart in that day when these plagues come. I will set apart in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth, and will put a division between my people and thy people. By tomorrow shall this sign be, or shall this sign come to pass. Wherever you look back at those 10 plagues, and you look at where Israel was, and you look at where Egypt was, there was no island of safety for Egypt. The only island for safety is where God placed his people, and where God comforted them and protected them and gave them safety and gave them love. And all the things that came upon Egypt, not one Israelite suffered because of that island of safety that God had made. The same thing is true when we look at the house of Elisha in 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, verse 12 through 17. Syria was trying to overtake Israel, and every time that they would go into a place of battle, the Israelites already knew that the Syrians would come, and they would pull up stakes, and they wouldn't be there. And the king began wondering, how in the world can this be? And it was being made known by Elisha to the king what to do, and so the king determined it's time to get rid of Elisha. And so he goes to Elisha's house. He said in verse 12, Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedchamber. He knows the secret things. And he said, go and see where he is that I may send and fetch him. And it was told to him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and great hosts. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God, that is Elisha, was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host with horses and chariots was around about the city. And his servant said unto Elisha, alas, my master, how or what shall we do? The appearance at that time of the condition and situation was hopeless. But just as God does for all those that will seek him, he provides an island of safety. And wherever that question was asked, this was the response in verse 16 by Elisha. Fear not, for they that are with us are more than they that are with them. And you have to think about that from the standpoint of how that servant heard that. We have the armies of Syria that are encompassed about us. We are circled. We are surrounded. We are in a hopeless situation. And you make the statement that those that are with us are more than those that are against us. How can that be? Verse 17, Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. In that dire situation, where it looked as though it was hopeless, God created an island of safety even in that place of imminent destruction. And in that vision that was seen and then by Elisha and seen and revealed to the servant, came the understanding God has made provision for our protection because of the love that he has for us. And we see it in the ship in which Jesus rode. In Mark, the 4th chapter, verse 39 through 40. It says, and leaving the multitude, they take him with them, even as he was in the boat, and the other boats were with him. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat the boat, insomuch that the boat was now filling. And he himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, speaking of Jesus. And they awake him, saying, Teacher, carest thou not that we perish? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased when there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you fearful? Have you not yet faith? And here we understand that with the disciples, that even though at any point in time the government could take them as far as they were concerned, the Jewish leaders could take them as far as they were concerned, it was not the Lord's time, so the Lord always was not recognized by them, but he always was their island of safety. And they had a hard time learning that lesson. I don't believe they really ever learned it until after his death, his resurrection, and after his ascension. That Jesus, the whole time that he was with them, was his island, was their island of safety. God has always provided islands of safety for his people. It's a blessing that we have from God. It's not God's will that we should ask what in the world is going to happen to us. It is God's will that we can have confidence and trust and faith and know that we are loved and know that we are comforted. Even in times of trial, when things look dire and evil things come upon us, God still creates islands of safety. We just have to make sure we're in them. And think about that from these particular points. God's islands that he has created for us, and not only for us, but for all of mankind, if they will accept it, are islands of safety. They're intended for safety. The marriage relationship is an island of safety for several different reasons. The statement is, first of all, is made here in 1 Corinthians the 7th chapter, verse 1 through 5. Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let each man have his own wife and let each woman have her own husband. There you have an island of safety. In the physical relationship that men and women would have, there's an island of safety where it is not sin, where it is not illicit, where it is not immoral. But it is an island of safety that has been provided by God himself so that even the flesh can be gratified. And he prepared that. In verse 3 it says, let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except by mutual agreement and for a season, so that you may devote yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, lest Satan tempt you because of your lack of self-control. And so he teaches there in the... You are made for one another in this relationship, in this scriptural, authoritative, honorable relationship where the bed is undefiled, as the Hebrew writer puts it in the 13th chapter. Don't deprive yourself. And yet, this island of safety is there from a physical standpoint and is used by many and should never be used by a Christian as a place of dominance. But it is quite often. And what a shame that is, that that island of safety has been turned into a place where there is a domineering aspect by one or of the members of that relationship, either the husband or the wife. And it takes away that beauty, and it takes away that place of respite and comfort and love that can be expected. And because of that domineering aspect that is involved quite so often in an abusive situation, it can lead exactly to the opposite because of the desires of the flesh that we see that Paul talks about. And the reason that you don't withhold from one another, except it be by consent and only for a period of time. You would expect, and I pray that it is this way for each and every one of us here, that in that relationship that we have with our spouses, that we can go home and we can tell our spouses everything that is on our heart and tell them the fears that we have and also relate to them the thanks that we have for them and relay to them the love that is in that relationship because it is an island of safety. It's an island of safety. And God has provided that. Not just for Christians, it's really for all. Because the marriage law is for all people, not just Christians. The home. And we see what Paul has to say in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 22 through 26. Wives, subject yourselves to your own husband as to the Lord, because the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is also head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. But just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And sometimes there's not that recognition in this island of safety that those comments down through verse 24 is not to the man, but it is to the woman. And it is to be her desire to be in subjection to her husband. But also entailed in that, before we get to verse 25, is the thought, the necessary implication that what woman wants to be in subjection to a man that is abusive to her? And what expectation does God even have of a woman that is in abusive relationship to her husband? I believe it is intimated within the thought, none. But here is what it's supposed to be then with the husbands. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for her in order that he might sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing of water by the word. There is to be that sanctification in relationship where there is a recognition of the fact that this home, this relationship that we have, it's an island of safety. I don't have to worry about coming home to danger. I don't have to worry about coming home to dominance. And I'll tell you, sometimes it's the woman domineering the man in this situation. Usually the other way around, but sometimes it is the other way around. But it is to be that island of safety, along with the thought that we have from the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 4 of Ephesians, where Paul makes mention, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that you may live long upon the earth. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." And there you have a place of safety, not only for the wife and the husband, but also for the children. And with Christians, that's the way that it should be. With Christians, the children should never feel as though they're ever going to be attacked. I'm not talking about never be corrected. There's a difference. I'm not talking about possibly never even be physically corrected. There's a difference between that and attack. But they always know that mom and daddy love them. And especially with Christians, it is evidenced by Christ being put forth in the family's life day in and day out, and the fathers making sure, because it is your primary responsibility, that this home is going to be an island of safety through Christ Jesus. And again, there are homes that are not like that, where you come in and there's fear. And there's always anxiety, and there's fighting, and there's screaming, and there's hollering, and there's things that take place such as that. And that's not what the Lord intends. That's not an island of safety. But he's given this as an island of safety if we do his will, if we follow his will. Also, the local congregation. When we look, first of all, in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 19 through 20, Paul says, "But in the church I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding in order that I may instruct others, rather than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue or language. Brethren, do not be children in your understanding, rather in malice be children, but in understanding be men." When we think about that, local congregation is an island of safety in respect to worship and service unto God. And it should be. There are some of you here, including myself, that have seen congregations that are anything but islands of safety. They are islands of dispute and backbiting and debate. They are islands of wrath, enmity, hatred. There is division. There is not the love that there should be, as God intended that island, that local congregation to be. And from a personal standpoint, I can tell you that I have been in congregations where it literally made me upset to my stomach thinking about having to go, and I said having to go, to worship service. Because I knew whenever I stepped in, there was going to be another fight, another complaint, more murmuring, more backbiting. That's not what God intended. What God intended is spoken here in this principle that is given in 1 Corinthians 14, 19, and 20. That there be edification, that there be understanding, that there be instruction. And that's where the safety is in a local congregation. As we look at that, we think about it from what is stated in Acts 2, verse 42, the first part of that. They were continuing, talking about the church, the local congregation there in Jerusalem, after the day of Pentecost, or beginning on that day, they were continuing in the teaching of the apostles. And I think about that from the standpoint of how that teaching was an island of safety. And I look back, 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 10. But also in this very thing, Paul says, having brought in all diligence, having fully supplied in your faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly love. He says, for these things being in you and abounding, they will make you not idle nor unfruitful in the full knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the one in whom these things are not present is blind, being short-sighted, taking on forgetfulness of the cleansing of his sins in the time past. Therefore, brothers, rather be diligent to make sure of your calling and election. For doing these things, you will never fall. Based upon the teaching of the doctrine that comes from God to the apostles that we have today through God's word. And I want you to notice this, that in Acts 2 and verse 40, they were continuing in it. It wasn't something that was done haphazardly. But in order for that local congregation there to be an island of safety, there had to be the constant teaching of God's word. Anything other than that, then you have the enemy, the adversary, enter in. You have the sheep then that are in danger. But holding to God's word, there's a place there. And I'm talking spiritually especially. There is that island of safety where there's comfort, where there's edification, where there's love, where there's growth. And that's what Peter's talking about. But we also see the fellowship that existed. And they were continuing in fellowship. First of all, in fellowship and primarily with God, which had to be established first, and then with one another, as we see in 1 John 1:7, also 1:3. And they were demonstrating this, and it went on from there to other places also, just as Paul said to the Galatians in Galatians 6 and verse 6, let him who is taught in the word share in all good things with him who teaches. And so they were continuing in that fellowship, that spiritual relationship through a sharing of God's word. And then we see also in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, and the things which you have heard from me through many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be competent to teach others also. It's interesting, isn't it? That island of safety that is there is not an island owned by one other than the Lord, but not owned by any brother, but rather is shared upon in fellowship. When those things that are taking place on that island are in accordance with God's will. But we also see the memorial that comes into play that is mentioned in Acts, the second chapter, in verse 42. They were continuing in the breaking of bread. Certainly not daily. We understand that from Acts 20 and verse 7. Upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. We understand that. But they were continuing to do or have that memorial before them as instructed by the Lord each week upon the first day of the week. And in doing so, it was a place of safety because they would come in as Paul gave instruction to the Corinthians to do, that as often as they eat the bread and drink the cup, they proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And that's an island of safety. That proclamation that we come together, we remember the Lord's death, and in doing so, we proclaim the salvation that we have from Christ Jesus. It's an island of safety. Lord's Supper doesn't save us, doesn't cleanse us from sins. It is a proclamation that we have been cleansed from sins by the death of Christ Jesus. We also see how prayers come into play in connection with the congregation being an island of safety. They were continuing in also prayers. Luke 5 and verse 33, Jesus said, or rather, he was asked by the Jews, why do your disciples and John's fast often and make prayers, and likewise also the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink? And one thing that I get from this is that something that separates people of God from other people are the constant prayers that are always going out from God's people. It is an island of safety. We had one of our brothers mentioned this morning that's going to be going through some tests. I don't know what that's about. But I can tell you from personal experience, having had some medical difficulties in my life, that I am thankful to this congregation, and not to this one only, but also to many congregations that I know were praying on my behalf. And in that, not only this congregation, but the others also created an island of safety for me, because there were others that cared about me and offered up supplication on my behalf. And it so happened, as it turned out, at least to this point, that God answered the prayers in the affirmative. Sometimes he answers them in the negative, but it's still an island of safety. And the reason we know that is because God knows best for us, however it turns out. So there are islands of safety. We see that we're to even pray for our enemies, and that separates children of God from children of the world. What sense does that make? Pray for those who persecute you. Matthew 5th chapter, verse 44 and 45. That makes no sense. That's what Jesus said to do. And we can even become an island of safety to our enemies in that. We pray for our magistrates, for those that rule over us in government. And it is, in a sense, selfish. So that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 4, verse 2, especially there, that we pray for them, that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. But then it gets down to the point that Christ Jesus died for all, and so you pray for all people. You don't pray that they continue in their sin or that they are forgiven when they don't confess, but you pray that they will come to a knowledge of the truth. Because Christ Jesus died and desires all men to be saved and come to that knowledge of the truth, as it says in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. It's an island of safety when we fall and we don't live the type of life that we should, and we come to an understanding of that, and we ask for prayers of the brethren, just like Simon the sorcerer did. Acts 8 chapter and verse 24. Whenever Peter had said to him, "You have neither part nor lot in this matter, I perceive that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of deceit." And wherever Simon heard that, he said to Peter, "Pray to the Lord for me that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me." He recognized he was in danger, but he also recognized where he was on an island of safety. And he asked forgiveness. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 9. Paul makes this statement concerning the Corinthian church. "For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. Your restoration is what we pray for." And so in this island of safety, we may know of situations where brethren need to be restored. We pray for their restoration. We pray that they will come back to the Lord. It's an island of safety. And that's what the church is. That's what the local congregation is. Our islands of safety are really not physical, in essence. They're spiritual. Jesus said in John the 15th chapter, verse 4 and 5, "Abide in me and I in you, just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing." The island of safety is Christ Jesus. He is our island of safety. And the reason being is we can establish ourselves and be built upon the rock. Matthew 7, 24 through 25. Therefore, the Lord says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, I will compare him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock, and the rain came, and the floods came, and the winds blew and fell against that house, and it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. It was an island of safety. Because their desire and their heart was to be in the Lord and to do his will, to hear his words and to do them. Assembling together. Someone said, now wait a minute, I thought you said that these islands are not physical locations. And it's not. They're spiritual. Consider the points with me. First of all, Hebrews 10 and verse 25, don't neglect meeting together as is the habit of some. Encourage one another. And he makes that statement there, and I realize he's talking about coming together and assembling together. I realize that. But it's built upon the premise of what he says in verse 24. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works. Our coming together, just by physically being here, is not an island of safety unless we are stirring one another up into love and to good works. Then that assembling is a spiritual thing. It's not just physical. Colossians 4 and verse 16, Paul says, and when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the churches of the Laodiceans, and see that it is also read, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. And what Paul is telling them, the things that I've written unto you and the things I've written unto Laodicea, share those things in instruction and warning and teaching that comes from God. There's an island of safety. And you share those things, and we have record of most of all of it. We certainly have record enough for the congregation to recognize that this place, spiritually speaking, is an island of safety because of the instruction that comes from God's Word. Same thought is there in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 27. I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. And reading God's word and understanding it, and I believe that is entailed within the thought, a proper application of it, our assembling together then becomes an island of safety. We come together, we don't teach the mind of men, we don't teach false doctrines, we don't teach what we think, we don't teach what the church says. Because the church doesn't teach, God does. Therefore, it's a spiritual island of safety. The work that we are to do as Christians are an island of safety. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. So then, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. It's an island of safety where we come together and also we work together in fellowship, realizing then that our efforts are not futile, but they're productive. It may be that there not be anyone that we ever teach that is converted to the Lord. But we've done our work. It is an island of safety where there's not idleness, where Satan comes in, but we're working together to do the Lord's will. And in that work, then, that work becomes an island of safety. I don't know if we've ever recognized that or not. Idleness is where the danger is. Work is where the safety is. Because we're doing the Lord's will. God has provided islands of safety for us. Let me ask you this morning. Are you on or in those islands in your life? If you're not a child of God, you're adrift. You're tossed to and fro and carried about by every desire and wind of doctrine. Now, I don't say that with glee. I say that with concern. But you're not in a place of safety. You're in a place of danger. But the Lord has made that place of safety when he says that no man can come to the Father except, no man can come to me except the Father draw him unto me. And the way that we're drawn to the Lord when we're not a child of God, if we've not become one, is by rendering obedience to the gospel of Christ Jesus. It takes us into that harbor where there's peace and there's safety, and we can enter in then into the rest that has been given by the Lord. By obedience through His Word, through faith, having then made a change of life, by making a commitment, by naming the name of Christ, being baptized for the remission of your sins. I urge you this morning, if you're not a child of God, enter into that island of safety. And then for us, we came to the Lord, we entered into that island of safety, but have we been continuing in doing the Lord's will? Or have we just stopped? Have we checked the box? Have we said, well, I was baptized and that was enough? We've entered then into danger once again. We're once again adrift. Sin has made it so. The adversary is our captain. And he is directing us in a course directly opposite to the Lord. But a way is made, a provision is made back to the island of safety. Confessing our faults one to another and praying one for another. The effectual fervent prayer of righteous people avails much. And so I ask you this morning, are you adrift or are you on an island of safety provided by God? There are those that we can help in any way. We ask you to come as we stand and sing.